May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 13. God's mercy is forever sure, eternal is his name. As long as life and speech endure, my tongue this truth proclaim. Hymn number 13.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, reading from the Book of Psalms. Firstly, Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Then we shall read from Psalms 142 and 143. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. We turn now to Psalms 142 and 143. Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry. For I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, grant us now that true spirit of prayer. O do come by thy spirit. Come by thy word, breathe that breath of living prayer into our hearts. And as we seek grace to draw nigh unto God, do graciously draw nigh unto us, and do grant thy felt presence here this evening, for whether in pulpit or in pew, without thee we can do nothing. But, O Lord, do be pleased to come. May Jesus himself draw near and come with us tonight. And may there be that same blessed effect. Did not our heart burn within us in the way as he walked with us and opened to us the scriptures? Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lead me into thy truth and teach me. Then opened he the eyes of their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Oh, as it was spoken to one, understandest thou what thou readest? How can I, unless some man guide me? O Lord, be our guide this night. Guide us into thy truth, the truth as it is in Jesus. O guide us into the holy, sacred scriptures, they which are able to make us wise unto salvation. O be our guardian, be our guide. And Lord, do favour us, we pray. O, leave not my soul destitute, but dear Lord, do come, and come right where we are. O, come and attend to us. Lord, do cause thy voice to be heard. O, the voice of our beloved, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the shepherd. My sheep, hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. Oh, that we might be of the flock of thy pasture. Lord, that we might hear thy voice, and hear what the Lord is speaking. Oh, grant us that gracious discernment. We pray for the Spirit's application. We pray for prepared hearts. Oh, to be a good ground hearer. May faith be mixed with what we hear. And, oh Lord, thou knowest the needs of each one. Oh, to prove, but my God shall supply your every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, as we notice the collection today is for the needy causes. And so we seek thy blessing, Lord, upon the collection, that which is given as unto the Lord, and for grace and wisdom for those in a distribution, and those needy cases that shall receive. But then, Lord, we feel there is here tonight other needy cases to which no amount of money can help, can satisfy. Lord, as we've read, but I am poor and needy. Oh, Lord, a poor and needy sinner in need of Christ, in need of salvation. Lord, in need of thy Spirit, in need of thy help, in need of underneath of the everlasting arms, oh, in need of the shepherd to lead them forth by the right way, in need of thy Spirit, teach me to do thy will. Lord, in need of faith, real faith, the faith of God's elect, need of an increase of our faith, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, in need of grace, but he giveth more grace. O in need of love, lovest thou me. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And, O Lord, increase our love to thee. O Lord, in need of thy appearing, the Lord to appear. O, in so many ways, perhaps personally, collectively, in Zion, in a nation, we need the Lord to appear. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. O, the Lord appearing in times of our extremity, in times of our real need. O, in time when no man cared for my soul, in times where there was none to help, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he, the God of all grace, delivered them out of all their distresses. In need of the Lord to rule and to overrule, for the hearts of all men are in thy hand. O, in need of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord to provide. No good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O, to be found by grace, walking uprightly, walking by faith, not by sight, looking unto Jesus. O Lord, provide for each needy soul, both spiritually and providentially. O, needy souls, the need for Lord to keep. Myself I cannot save, myself I cannot keep. So prone to wander, prone to turn aside, prone to backslide, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Lord, we believe there are many needy souls here this night. O Lord, remember each one. They may have pressing needs. They may have peculiar needs. Oh, they may have great needs. They may have an abundance of needs. Oh, they may have such needs where it seems impossible for their needs to be met. But with God, nothing shall be called impossible. So, Lord, remember every needy soul. Oh, Lord, there may be one or another here in such pressing need for thy help this night, who feels to be sinking in a pit, who feels to be in such distress. As we read, the enemy have smitten my life down to the ground. The enemy have persecuted my soul. Lord, enemies without, much mightier enemies within. O Lord, those who need a word in due season, as a good Samaritan to come right where they are, to bind up those wounds. O, to pour in the oil and wine, to set them upon the ass, to take care of them. O Lord, do remember those needy souls, all those souls in need of Christ. Give me Christ, or else I die. O, in need of a revelation, in need of a manifestation. O, in need of thy precious and atoning blood. O, in need of thy righteousness. O, Lord, in need to know their sins forgiven, their iniquities pardoned. O, to know their peace with God, that peace in believing. O, that need to be made sure. O, that need to strive to enter in at the strait gate, to be found in the narrow way which leadeth unto life. Lord, remember each needy soul. Lord, remember each one gathered here from the youngest to the eldest. And may none go home disappointed. May not the poor minister prove to be a dry breast. Lord, may there be a portion for seven and also for eight. O Lord, command thy blessing. Prosper thy word. Send it forth in divine power and unction and authority, that where the word of a king is, there is power. Lord, glorify thy name. O Lord, remember then, we pray for the dear young people growing up into life, that our hearts go out to them. Lord, keep them. Watch over them. Oh, so many temptations, so many carnal attractions, enticements, which appear so pleasing to the flesh, oh, so attractive to their lusts. Lord, put thy holy fear deep into their hearts. Oh, be pleased to call them by thy almighty, irresistible grace. Teach them to pray. Teach them their need of salvation, their need of Christ. And Lord, provide for them. Go before them. Oh, may they be taught, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. O Lord, remember each one, all in the midst of life, with the many burdens and cares and responsibilities in the workplace, in the home. O, to prove that as thy day, so shall thy strength be. And O Lord, remember those in older years, in weakness and infirmity. O Lord, remember them and help them, we pray, even to hoar hairs. I am he. Oh, what a promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, even despite all our unbelieving fears and so many doubts. Lord, remember this cause of truth and be with them here. And oh Lord, bless them and favour them. Grant a godly increase both in church and in congregation. O Lord, do bless the church and the officers of the church. And oh, if it be thy holy will, be pleased to raise up an under-shepherd here. Thy promise is to provide pastors according to thine own heart, to feed thy people with knowledge and understanding. And often, Lord, it may be said, ye have not because ye ask not. Lord, what we pray for here, we pray for each cause of truth represented. The little hills of Zion. O Lord, shine upon the churches. O, do make it manifest that thy Spirit remaineth among us. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. And Lord, keep us from doing anything that would grieve thy Holy Spirit, and cause a hiding of thy face and a withholding of the blessings and privileges. And Lord, where we have grieved thee, show us and bring us to repentance, true repentance, godly sorrow, and that begging and pleading for thy gracious return. O Lord, be pleased yet to raise up, equip and thrust forth others into the gospel ministry. The harvest is plenteous, the labourers are few. O, we would pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth labourers yet. O, how shall they preach unless they be sent? Send forth more labourers. And Lord, bless the labours of thy servants. O, so often it is felt, I have laboured in vain and spent my strength for naught. Oh, woe is me, unprofitable servant. But Lord, thou knowest. Oh, prosper thy word. Glorify thy name. Again, Lord, we beg thy mercy upon our guilty land and nation. And, O Lord, again, with the election just a few days away, thou knowest our eyes are upon thee. Lord, do mercifully intervene, and if it could please thee to raise up some who love and fear thy name, some who would seek to do that which is right in thy sight. O Lord, do mercifully appear. Thou art our only hope. Lord, we would pray for the persecuted Church of God throughout the whole earth, those who suffer great troubles, great tribulations, the loss of their liberties and livelihoods, and are driven from place to place, driven out of their land. Oh, Lord, remember them, we pray. Comfort them. Appear for them. And, oh, Lord, remember them in all of their great needs, great and pressing needs. So we would be thankful, Lord, for all the mercies and privileges bestowed upon us yet. Oh, may we not take anything for granted, but oh, for a truly thankful heart. So, Lord, do be with us, we pray. As each one has been brought, we trust in peace and safety. Following this service, take each home in peace and safety. And, Lord, may we be found in the gospel field this night. May a hap happen to be found here. And oh, may we not go away empty. Compassion on us have, we pray. And empty send us not away, but do forgive our every sin. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone.
Hymn 257. Ye humble souls, complain no more. Let faith survey your future store. How happy, how divinely blessed, the sacred words of truth attest. Hymn 257.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I will direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 142 and the first part of verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Psalm 142 in the first part of verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Do we hear some echoes in this chapel tonight of our text? Or is it the language of your soul? Is it your soul's need? Is it your soul's desire? Or do you feel your soul to be in prison, in darkness, in captivity, in chains, in bondage? Or do you long for that freedom that is found in Christ? Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. I would, but cannot. Lord, relieve. My help must come from thee. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. You see, again, as we have a similar verse in the following psalm, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Well, really, the two are the same. And do we not prove that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward? May I suggest that perhaps every one of us here tonight is in some sort of trouble. It may not be a great trouble. It may not be a deep trouble, but we have our troubles, don't we? Troubles in our bodies, troubles in our homes, troubles in our families, troubles in our situations, troubles in our employments, troubles in our lives, of course, troubles in our nations. Sometimes, very, very sadly, troubles in our churches. Ah, but these troubles come. There is that wonderful, precious, glorious word the Lord speaks unto his people when they are in trouble. Any trouble, every trouble, all their troubles. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Now, I feel there's some of you here who can put your T and your P next to that word. Tried and proved. Proved the faithfulness of God. Oh, prove the wonderful loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, prove God to be the living God, the prayer hearing and prayer answering God. And yet what it has taken for the first part to be fulfilled, and call upon me. Few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. Long we either slight or doubt him, but then prove we cannot do without him. Then at last to him we cry, oh, call upon me. I know not, this may be a word in season to one here in trouble. And you've been attempting to get yourself out of trouble. You've been using your reason. You've been using your wisdom. You've been losing your strength. You've been using your sense. You've been using your power. You've been using perhaps another to help, another to advise. Perhaps you've been using friends or families or parents. You've been turning to the left hand, turning to the right hand. Every single one has failed. Call upon me. You see, there is no trouble that is too great. And neither is there any trouble too small. to take it to the Lord in prayer. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Oh, that is such a precious word, a definite word. No ifs, no howevers, no questions really. I will, but in my time and in my way, and as the text follows, that which will redound to my honour and glory, for call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. There shall be no glorying in the flesh. There shall be no glorying in self. No, there shall be no self-glory. But all the glory will be ascribed unto God, who heard you in your trouble, who delivered you in your trouble, and you will be given that grace to glorify him. But one may be saying, but if you knew my trouble, and how great and deep and impossible my trouble is. Dear friends, that doesn't alter the word of God. That doesn't change in any way whatsoever the words of the Lord. It is still, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. You think of those dear saints who came into troubles, and as the Lord so taught them and helped them, they called upon the Lord. Some had immediate answers to prayer. You think of Peter when walking upon the water and taking his eyes off the Lord Jesus and looked around at the billows and the waves raging, he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately the Lord Jesus stretched forth his arm and caught him. An immediate answer to prayer. Now, other times, oh, we've had to continue crying unto the Lord. We're not told how long Job was in his trouble, his affliction, his distress. And yet as he called upon the Lord, so the Lord delivered him. Again, we have David here. And when he was fleeing from King Saul, he was in great trouble. And yet the Lord delivered him. And there are many others also who prove the faithfulness of the word of God in their troubles. They called upon the Lord, although they, perhaps it was self-inflicted trouble. Now that trouble is very, very distressing when we bring ourselves into trouble. You think of that which is recorded in Psalm 107. And really the Psalm 107 is the experience of the Lord's dear people throughout their pilgrimage, and yet we have this. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Now that would be very distressing at any time, very distressing if the enemy, as it were, caught us and threw us into that prison. Very distressing if those troubles came, as it were, providentially. The Lord permitted it. The Lord sent it. But then what follows is this. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Self-inflicted trouble, things that we have brought upon ourselves because we have rebelled against the words of God. We have contemned the counsel of the Most High, perhaps through disobedience, you think of Jonah, or through presumption, through going before, through neglect, all sorts of ways we can contemn the counsel of the Most High. And the Lord will bring us down and show us and prove to us that there is none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Unworthy, undeserving, with all their guilt, with all their shame, with all their sorrow, with all their contrition and brokenheartedness, when there's none to help, then to cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Who is a God like unto thee? A God that delights in mercy. The God who is full of mercy and compassion. Yea, the God of all grace. So we have all these various troubles that we come into from time to time. Some are short, some are long, some are great, some not so great. Some seem impossible to come out of, and yet the Lord brings us out. Recently was said, and I'll speak in a general sense, many have died recently, concerning one who had died, and there was a body in the grave. Ah, oh, that body that caused so many of the troubles. And how it is, our flesh, our bodies, all causing us so many troubles, oh, that I had not of myself. And perhaps some of our troubles will remain with us to our dying day. And yet in one sense, the day we die, those troubles which are for life will cease. And if by the mercy of God we go to heaven, then there will be no more trouble ever, ever, ever again. That eternal peace and felicity in heaven, in paradise with Christ, which is far better. But if we are sent to hell, our troubles have just begun. Now all of these troubles, and yet there is one trouble that exceeds them all. There is one trouble that is greater than all. Oh, there is one trouble, if you will, that overshadows every other trouble, and only the child of God knows it, and it is soul trouble. Oh, when the soul is in trouble, it's not for life, it's for eternity. Oh, it concerns our never-dying soul, the spirit that must return to him who gave it. And here the psalmist was in soul trouble. Oh, it concerned his never-dying soul. And it concerned a never-ending eternity. And these two things, I feel, when the Lord begins that work of grace, will bring us into that concern over our never-dying soul. There must be thousands upon thousands all around us who have not the slightest care over their never-dying souls, do not even know perhaps that they have a never-dying soul, are quite happy to eat and drink and be merry and to continue their mad career of sin. There may be some who attend the house of God, sit under the gospel ministry, hear the word of God read, hear the word of God preached, sing those lovely hymns, but still have no concern over their never-dying soul. Dear friend, how is it with you? That each one of us, indeed every inhabitant of the whole world, has a never-dying soul. A soul, if you will, that shall live for eternity. Ah, a short time upon this earth, and then it will be either heaven or hell. How stands the case? My soul with thee, for heaven are thy credentials clear? Is Jesus Christ thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? have we been brought into concern over our never-dying souls and a never-ending eternity. All man will seek out cunning devices of lies, and how in the day and age in which we live, some feel that false doctrine of annihilation, that there shall be nothing after death. Others would suggest that everyone who leads a good and morally upright life surely will go to heaven, or a heaven of their imagination. Some believe in this, some believe in that. But oh, to be taught the truth. The truth as it is in Jesus, the truth as it is revealed in the holy word of God. Oh, dear friends, we are so favoured, we have before us the most faithful translation of God's holy word, by which he reveals his will unto his people, by which he speaks unto his people, by which he warns his people, by which he awakens his people. All for the Spirit shall take of mine and show it unto you. All by the word of God, those arrows of conviction come to awaken, to quicken, to bring us into concern, to bring us to this prayer, to bring us to this cry, all to bring us to this supplication. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. And as the Lord continues and deepens that work of grace, and as the Lord continues to convict that soul that he is a sinner. Oh, it's easy to say that we are sinners, but quite a different thing to feel it, to know it, or to feel to be a condemned sinner, a lost sinner, an undone sinner, a miserable sinner, a guilty sinner, a hell-deserving sinner. All to see that we have sinned against God, who is so holy, so pure, so great, so high, full of majesty, full of glory, full of purity. A God who cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance or toleration. Who has said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But until and unless the Lord begins that work of grace, we do not know it, we do not feel it, but something must be known and felt. Ah, you see, those who are yet dead in trespasses and in sins, there is no spiritual life. They have not the Spirit of Christ. They have no real concerns over their never-dying souls, over eternity. But to those souls whom the Lord calls by his grace, you see, the Lord is determined to save, determined to teach, oh, determined to save unto the uttermost these dear souls for whom Christ shed his precious blood. And each and every one will be taught their need of salvation. Each and every one will be taught their need of Christ to save them from their sins. Or they will be shown, they will be taught that their soul is in prison. It's in bondage, it's in chains. It's in darkness, it's in misery. They cannot bring themselves out. And yet this cry, one thing the Lord will do for his people is teach them to pray. Perhaps we cannot remember our spiritual beginnings. Or perhaps the Lord has dealt with us thus, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Perhaps we cannot pinpoint the time when we hope or trust the Lord began that work of grace. But dear friend, can you remember the time when you first really prayed? Really prayed, when perhaps it was said of you, for behold, he prayeth. Saul of Tarsus had said many, many, many prayers before that time. Perhaps he'd be found in the uppermost parts of the temple, and seen in the synagogues, seen on the street corners, reciting those long pretentious prayers. Like that Pharisee, he prayed within himself. He told God how good he was. He set forth his self-righteousness. He justified himself of his own goodness, but there was no prayer wrought in his heart by the Holy Spirit. But you see how the Lord dealt with him. How the Lord humbled him, how the Lord emptied him, how the Lord stripped him, how the Lord brought him down, cut him down but didn't cut him off. And I'm sure that dear man was taught to cry for mercy. Oh, he could see no salvation but in the mercy of God. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Oh, dear soul, have you been taught your need of God's mercy? That you cannot save yourself? That you cannot bring forth anything acceptable unto God? Or that we sin in thought, we sin in word, we sin in deed, sins of commission, sins of omission, sins against an holy God, sins against his righteous laws. And here my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy ten commands, guilty, 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 and condemned. Oh, condemned by the broken law of God. And we tremble. Oh, we tremble before the holy majesty of God. Where must I go, or whither flee, to escape the wrath that's due to me? All these souls who feel to be in prison because they cannot deliver themselves, or they cannot bring themselves out, or they feel to be in that miserable dungeon, or they feel to be in despair, or they feel to be in great trouble. Soul trouble. Oh, it concerns their never dying souls and a never ending eternity. And they know that one day they must die. One day they must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Or that day of eternal separation betwixt the goats and the sheep. And how will it be with you? How will it be with me? I don't think I have ever known a time as this year when I have heard of so many deaths, not just within our own denomination, but outside also. It just seems week after week after week we keep hearing of others taken by death. Some, we have that sure and certain hope that they are now in glory. Some, we have a hope that they are in glory. Some, we fear, may not be in glory. We would judge nobody, but when someone never gives you any reason to hope, oh, it makes you tremble. Makes you tremble, for as the tree falleth, so shall it lie. And it has not just been old people who have died. Just the other week, was it last week, a lady in her 40s, and even little ones also. You see, it's a one certainty of life, that one day we shall die. Are we ready to die? Is it our prayer, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face? Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Oh, you feel at present you cannot praise the Lord. You would praise the Lord for his mercy toward you. But that is it. You want to know his mercy toward you. You were singing that opening hymn concerning God's mercy. But what is God's mercy if it is not toward you? Oh, to look around and to see God's mercy to this one, to that one, to another. But is it not our prayer, God be merciful to me the guilty sinner, to me the hell-deserving sinner, oh, to me the most wicked sinner, oh, to me the most wretched sinner. But God, be merciful. You see that word merciful, full of mercy. Nothing but God's mercy, nothing but his goodness, nothing but his loving kindness, nothing but his great compassion. To me, Lord, to me, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. I'm sure most of you are familiar with that true story many years ago in another nation of a widow who had a son who committed some crime which was worthy of death. It had a death sentence against it and he was due to die. But the widow goes to the king and implores the king's clemency, mercy. She comes to beg for her son. And the king replies, well, he's committed this great crime. He's not worthy of my mercy. She replies, but if it's mercy, then it can never have a worth. It can never be deserved. That's it. The king said, he doesn't deserve mercy. Mercy can never be deserved. The two things don't go together. That which is deserved cannot be mercy. We do not deserve mercy. But dear friends, the Lord has given the throne of his grace, the mercy seat. There we see a precious Jesus. Oh, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Oh, dear friend, do you not desire to obtain mercy? Oh, there the Lord draws his people and draws them by his irresistible grace, draws them with his loving kindness, draws them unto himself. Oh, he draws them upon their knees. Oh, he draws them as beggars. He draws them as needy souls. He draws them as bankrupt souls with nothing to pay, but yet he draws them. And he draws them and they come pleading for mercy. They come boldly, not in a proud, presumptuous boldness. I've often thought of that concerning Queen Esther, when of necessity she must go unto the king to plead for the life of her people, the Jews. And I will go in unto the king, which is not according unto the law. But I will go, and if I perish, I will perish there. And that is how the Lord's people come. They come boldly because there is a throne of grace. Or they come boldly because they believe God is merciful, God is gracious, God is full of compassion. The door of his mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy who knock by the way. No sinner shall ever be empty sent back who comes seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name for Jesus' sake. Ah, the name the Father delights to hear his children plead. Ah, but do I hear one or another saying, but I long to know Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, I long to know him as my Saviour, my Redeemer. Oh, I long for that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon. Oh, I long to hear the shepherd's voice calling me by my name. Oh, I long to know my beloved. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Dear soul, is there that attraction in Christ? Is he or is he becoming the one thing needful? Can you do without him? Oh, you need him. And you need him to save you from all your sins. You need his precious sin atoning blood to cleanse you from all your sins. You need his righteousness to so clothe and to cover you. Or you need him to say, I am thy salvation. Or you feel to be so burdened, you feel to be so heavy laden, labouring under that sense of your guilt and your sin. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Ah, you would not deny that you need Christ. You would not deny that you try to pray to him. Oh, you would not deny that you desire the Lord to reveal himself unto you. Oh, you would not desire that you long to hear the shepherd's voice. Dear soul, I feel that you are in the footsteps of a flock, and those footsteps lead unto Christ, the good shepherd, or the great shepherd of his sheep. But yet bring my soul out of prison. Oh, this captivity, this bondage, this darkness, that I may praise thy name. What you long for is gospel liberty. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You long for that sweet assurance of faith. Yea, you long to be enabled to say, I am my beloved and he is mine. You long for that glimpse of a precious Jesus showing himself through the lattice. You long to be made sure. Oh, you long to know your sins forgiven. You long to know that peace in believing. Oh, you long to know that freedom which is found in Christ. And ye shall be free indeed. The time of love will come. Oh, dear soul, it will come. Pray on. Plead on. Beg on. Although you feel to be in darkness, though you feel to be in prison, though you feel to be in captivity, the time of love will come when ye shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but ye shall say, for me. Bring my soul out of prison. that I may praise thy name. Just a word to those in the pathway, the pilgrimage. You know how David, he fell. And in his penitential psalm, Psalm 51, he prayed, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He had lost the joy of God's salvation. You know how that psalm begins? Again, David praying for mercy. "Blot out my iniquities. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." The sanctifying effect of it all. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Ah, I was only reading a little this morning with this text in mind. That part of Pilgrim's Progress where Christian and hopeful step out of the way, go into the bypath meadow because their way was hard and rough, their feet were sore. And there they see, was it Vain Confidence who fell into that pit, a blind leader of the blind? And then they began to fear, then it started getting very dark. And then the thunderings and the lightnings and the torrents of rain. And then they find they cannot get back to the stile they went over. And they find some place to sleep the night, and in the morning are taken by a giant despair who casts them into Doubting Castle. And there with his wife Diffidence, who encourages him to beat them and to kill them, and trying to tempt them to take their own lives because of their misery and grief. Are there some here tonight in Doubting Castle, full of doubts and fears? Oh, can I be a child of God? Oh, as the dear hymn writer, if I can just turn to that hymn, it's so much the experience of the Lord's dear people in their pilgrimage, proving they cannot keep themselves. "Though the corruptions of thy heart daily new cause of grief impart, pray that thy lusts may all be slain, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain." And they were some time in Doubting Castle. They suffered much. They were beaten. Oh, they feared that they would die. They feared that there would be no way out. They could never escape. Until, by the Spirit, Christian suddenly remembers that key of promise. Oh, those promises of God, which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And again, going back to that prayer, that's a promise. "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Ah. Oh. It's a very distressing place to be in Doubting Castle. Oh, a very dismal place. And at times it seems impossible that we can ever get out. But the Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. The Lord delights in mercy. Oh, he will turn again. He will have compassion. Oh, the Lord grant you to find that key of promise which will unlock every door and every gate and bring you back, as it were, to the King's highway. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. Just one final concluding word. And perhaps a word to some of you here, blessed with a good reason to hope, good hope through grace, those in a narrow way. And you see these other dear seeking souls, troubled, tried souls, these souls who are in prison, these souls who are in captivity, these souls in soul trouble, all these souls longing to know the Lord. longing to possess the faith of God's elect. Well, it came to me at that time in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, when Herod slew James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because that pleased the Jews, he took Peter, intending to do exactly the same, to kill Peter. And should Peter be slain, it would have been a great loss to the church of God, the early church of that time. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison in an impossible situation. Oh, it seemed that there would be no deliverance, there would be no release. There was Herod in all his wrath against the disciples of Christ and the Jews also in all their persecutions. There was no way that Peter could be released, delivered, freed. But listen to this. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God unto him. And unceasing meant all night, even at the 11th hour, even when it seemed beyond hope, even when the case seemed so desperate, so impossible, still in that home they were praying and praying and praying. And how the Lord appeared. The angel of the Lord came into that prison, that light shone, the chains fell off, and Peter was brought forth, and all praise was unto God. Oh, let us continue in prayer for these dear souls in prison, that the Lord might be pleased to appear and to deliver them. And then it shall be united praise, united thanksgiving, united in giving glory unto God. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Amen.
The collections today are for our Needy Cases Fund, as you have heard. Let us close with hymn 834. While heavenly hosts their anthem sing in realms above the sky, let worms of earth their tribute bring, and Lord, the Lord Most High. Hymn 834.
Thank you.
And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.